Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company. On ESPN, Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Cofield and Company, Willie Ramirez is here. Justin Watkins, Battleborn Broadcast Studios. It's Cofield back in the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Griffin. So today turns out to be good vibes, because we had planned on having Justin Watkins in for an extended period of time while we're here at his place, Battleborn Injury Lawyers, to talk about conference chaos, because there's so much legal stuff on that one. And then last night got really crazy with UNLV football. Matthew Sluka, their starting quarterback, sends out a message that he's making a claim. He's leaving. We can get into that. We'll get into the storytelling on this whole thing for both sides. Lots of statements. There was an interview today with the agent who's representing Matthew Sluka. We'll try to pull that. That happened a little while ago, and I heard there were some interesting statements to get with Marcus Cromartie on. We did reach out to Marcus Cromartie. He has yet to answer to come on the show. So he did go on nationally, which I was a little worried about, that he went on national and he's not going to want to take or talk to the Vegas audience. So we'll see. We'll see. The cutoff's 90 minutes or else.
Not the news I thought was going to be coming out of UNLV today.
No. We figured hour by hour there's going to be some sort of decision when it comes to the conference chaos. But let's start with Sluka.
Yeah.
So it starts last night. You read what he sent out.
Yep.
What'd you think?
Well, you know, this is going to be an interesting test to see how far he goes with this. So Sluka is saying, hey, I was promised $100,000 if I transferred from Holy Cross and came to UNLV. I was promised this by an assistant coach at UNLV. And in later reports through his dad and through his agent, they specifically name the assistant coach. And then when I got here, the collective wasn't paying. We followed up on it. I hired an agent. So remember, at the point of, you know, the quote unquote deal, he did not have an agent. He did it on his own. And so he gets an agent. The agent gets involved, goes to the NIL and says, hey, where's this $100,000? I think this is confirmed. Both Sluka's agent and the NIL say they told Sluka and his agent, we can't talk to you because you're not a registered agent in Nevada. You need to talk directly to the school, which is really surprising to me, because the school can't do this directly. So why the NIL is directing them to the school is really questionable. I mean, we got to keep clear lines between the NIL and the football staff and the administration. Now, some NILs are in-house, but they are what's called Chinese walled off. They're separate. They're not allowed to share information. So UNLV, in their statement, says he came to us with demands. We interpreted those demands as pay-to-play, which is against the rules. And so we told him we would not participate in that. And Sluka says, okay, I'm out. I've got a redshirt season. I'm going to use it, and I'm going to go somewhere else. Now, reading between the lines on this, I think there's probably truth on both sides of this, but I would caution anybody to not jump on board against this kid, or jump on board for this kid.
Really?
Not jump on board for UNLV, yep. And not jump on board against UNLV. Because while the UNLV statement sounds really strong, when you look at it, it is, and the NIL statement, both of them leave tons of holes that leave questions for me. If I'm a lawyer, I'm saying, wait. I think there's some room for Sluka's story to fit right into your statement, and you have not directly contradicted anything he said. has not been contradicted. They didn't say we didn't promise him anything. They didn't say that. They didn't say that he didn't transfer based on some representations. They didn't say that he didn't that he demanded the money and what he was basing it off of what he believed had already been promised, not some future endeavor. So, you know, I see there's a lot of Twitter conversation back and forth on this. That
Twitter
that,
attorneys.
Yeah. Well, that are saying like, oh, you know, other players got in his ear, other schools got in his ear, and he was getting offered this money. So he went to UNLV and said, you know, hey, match this or I'm leaving. UNLV did not say that. The NIL did not say that. So far, Sluka's story has not been contradicted.
That's right.
And I would just make that point. I would also say UNLV's story has not been contradicted. But UNLV's statement is way softer than Sluka's statement.
So to all those points, a couple of things. One is interpretation from our standpoint, what we see, what we've read, what's come across in terms of statements and claims and accusations. I'm right there with you when you say his story has not been challenged or contradicted, but where I'm sitting is I'm thinking when he says he was promised $100,000 and the coach that was named, right, was his recruiter, it could very well be that when he was being recruited, the conversation is, man, listen, Justin, we want to get you aboard. We want to make you a part of the show. Yep. You know, okay, how much am I going to, listen, let's get you there. I'm sure that I can get you sponsored. I'm sure that I can get you some money. I'm sure I can get you 100K. You're going to, you know, you have a chance to be a you get QB1. Let's get the games going. Because that was one of the things he said, right? Once games are, we're going to get paid by game or something like that. We're going to get you. That doesn't mean that UNLV was on the hook for it. But what the player and the father and the agent here is that we're going to be able to get it. What I'm thinking is if he was promised that or that was said by said coach, it meant that they were going to do what they can to find someone to be that NLA. Hey, we're going to go to Battleborn. We're going to go to this one, that one, or the other company. And it just didn't happen. The reason UNLV can come out with such a strong statement is because they can't abide by that or honor that. So they're, like you said, they're telling the truth. They're not on the hook for the 100K. The two people that I think are at fault just on the surface so far is the assistant coach opening his mouth and throwing that offer out there, if it's true, number one. Number two, you're a lawyer. Where's the agent? We all saw Jerry Maguire get the ink dotted on paper. Nothing was signed. So you have a verbal commitment. Nobody has to abide by anything. So if just looking out on the whole, now you're more obviously legal mind than I, but those are the two people that to me stand out. The assistant coach throwing that out there and the agent not getting anything on paper.
So I'm going to do a deep dive into legalese here to try to address that. And I hear your points, and I think that is the common reaction amongst the public to what's going on. First point I want to make, he did not have an agent at the time. He only got the agent when UNLV didn't pay. So he got the agent involved.
So I saw a different story. I'm just sorry. Okay. I'm sorry.
So he didn't have an agent at the time that he agreed to transfer. So everybody's out there saying, you know, hey, if it's not in writing, it didn't happen, it's not enforceable, you should have got it in writing. That's not true. Every lawyer will say that I've said this. If it's not in writing, it didn't happen. We all say that. Mm-hmm. But that's not legally true. Oral agreements are just as enforceable, not lesser enforceable, just as enforceable as a written contract. Okay? Now, how do we go about proving the terms of an oral agreement? Well, there may be witnesses as to what was said and what was not said. There may be some texts. There may be some emails. There may be some recordings for all we know. But here's the thing. You would put the assistant coach on the stand, ask him what he said. You would put Sluka on the stand, ask what he said and what he heard. And then the key component to it all is what's called detrimental reliance. Did one party rely on the representations of somebody else, the other party, and do something that was detrimental to them in order to effectuate the deal, i.e. transfer schools all the way across the country. So no doubt he's got detrimental reliance. Now, the question after that hurdle is clear is, were the terms clearly laid out? Was it like you said, we will go to bat for you? Or is it like, I can get that for you? Or, you know, words matter, and what a jury would believe who's telling the truth. And who, and it's also relevant if one party's in a more sophisticated position and is making representations to somebody else in a way that they understand is not enforceable, but they understand that the other person thinks it is, it becomes enforceable. So when you're dealing with a 20-year-old kid and you're an assistant coach and you're just like, hey, I'll go to bat for you, and you hear in your head, that means nothing. I don't know if I can get it or not, but I didn't tell him that. I didn't tell him, I don't know if I can get it. It's up in the air. We haven't got that much before. I'm not sure. He doesn't give any of those clarifiers. And he has a reasonable belief that that kid thinks that that's a deal, that that's $100,000. They're going to be held to that term. Now, I also disagree that UNLV is off the hook here. One of their staff members made the representation.
That's right.
So not only...
By the way, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Because I have had sources say absolutely did not happen. Now, am I 100% confident in that? 98%.
Yeah. So, well, okay, let's... Again, they never said that in the statement. You know...
They didn't bring in the assistant part in the either UNLV statement or related statement.
They never said in their statement... From UNLV, that nobody from our organization, from our university, made any such representations to him. They never said that.
No.
It would be a very easy thing to say and would sort of close the door on all of this if it were true. So I think we've got to leave that door open. So let's, hypothetically, if somebody from UNLV staff made that sort of, let's just adopt your theoretical conversation, Willie. Okay. Let's say it happens exactly that way.
Right.
I think Sluka's got a good case. And it's a case against UNLV. If the NIL got involved and is like, yeah, we're on board with that, I think it's a case against the NIL. And on top of it, it's probably an NCAA violation that I'm sure the NCAA has already started an investigation. Like, they have to.
Right, because if I'm not mistaken – when it comes to NIL, the school cannot be involved. You can make your own deals, but the school cannot orchestrate or even say or imply, we will get that for you, even if it doesn't mean it's coming out of the collective.
Right. They cannot work with the collective. The collective has to be on their own. Now, there is this opening, and this is happening at some universities where they are bringing the collective in-house.
Right.
Just to make sure that there's quality people running the collective rather than just some boosters out there not, you know, doing stuff willy-nilly. But again, that in-house group has to be completely segregated from the university's team and management and athletic directors and all of that in order for that to be run in-house. Now, the university may pay them and all that stuff, but they have to be separate. They cannot work together. So... yeah, I mean, I have to believe the NCAA is going to open an investigation into this. The real question would be whether or not Sluka is actually going to file a lawsuit to try to collect this $100,000. I imagine from a PR perspective, he probably does not want to do that until at least he's gone to a new school and made the transfer.
On the way back, we'll address that whole PR thing because it was pretty rough this morning for UNLV before they finally put out some statements in that 11:45 to 12:30 range. Justin Watkins is here. You have to have an attorney on to touch this stuff. It is so crazy. There is so much legal stuff. Later on, we're going to get into the conference chaos. But right now, let's do a giveaway. Two tickets, a Perfect Circle, Primus, and Pussifer. Next year, April 28th, we have the tickets early, but you can buy them right now as well. Ticketmaster.com, Big Show, Ticketmaster.com. Two tickets, 364-1100. Caller 7, and Griffin will hook you up, 364-1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center. on ESPN Las Vegas.
So this, just to be clear, is not coming from Barry Odom. I have not spoken to him, I've reached out, but I have not heard back. But I do know the man. And so I just, based on what I know about him and having, he was my coach for 3 years, I don't believe a word that's coming out of this kid's mouth or his representation or anything else.
TJ Moe, former Missouri player, now part of the Whitlock crew. He's got certain views that line up with Jason Whitlock, so... Good timing today, right? With UNLV in the center of the college football news, which doesn't happen often, but it's been going on for like 4 days now. On the story that is still developing, we got a lot of updates, a lot of reports this morning, lots from the Sluka side, a little bit from the UNLV and collective side. TJ Moe knows Barry Odom, but he did not get any of this take from the coach. Listen to what he thinks happened with Sluka.
My guess is he walks into Barry Odom's office and says, hey, man, this is my last year. I'm not going to the NFL. I'm completing 43% of my passes, and so I need some more money. I got to make some money now, or this isn't going to happen. He walks in and says, here's what I need, $100,000, $200,000, whatever it is. And Odom's like, hey, man, I don't have a magic wand. We got what we got. Let's win some more games, and you can probably get some more NIL deals as we go here. And so the kid goes back. Starts calling these other coaches who may have already been calling him, by the way. They may have come in and said, hey, man, I see you're doing pretty well. You still got time to redshirt this year, just so you know. Put that in the back of your head. And we got a couple $100,000 for you over here at Mississippi State or Utah or Baylor or wherever else. He walks into Odom's office. Odom says, no, he says, I'm redshirting and I'm out. That is the problem with perpetual free agency.
Justin, what do you think of that telling of what could have happened?
Well, on the... The reentry there was saying, I don't believe a word out of this kid's mouth. It has not been contradicted by the NIL or by UNLV. You know, what the NIL said is we didn't formalize any agreements. So to me, when a non-lawyer is writing that, that means we didn't put it in writing. Doesn't mean we didn't have an agreement. It means we didn't put it in writing. And like I started off this whole segment with, is an oral contract is just as enforceable as a written contract. So formalized or not, so long as the terms of the agreement are clear, they will be enforced. And so I didn't go to UNLV, but I grew up here. You know, I think I'm pretty unbiased in this assessment when I look at these two sides. And I tend to think that what Sluka is saying is true only because nobody has contradicted it. They've taken these legalese. They said, you know, UNLV says it was our interpretation that he was asking for a pay to play. Okay. So you're putting us into your mindset. You're not putting us into his mindset. There is tons of room for there to be, Sluka believed he was demanding what had been promised to him, but yes, you took it as a pay-to-play. And so you got out of it. Which, of course they would, because they're not the NIL. They're not the collective. Why the collective sent them to UNLV just does not make any sense to me. Like, why did they do that? And unless really, truly, the NIL had no idea that a UNLV representative had made these assertions. And, you know, again, we're assuming somebody made the assertion on behalf of UNLV. And so the collective's like, we don't know anything about that. You need to go talk to UNLV if they're the ones who made those representations to you. So I think UNLV could be in some hot water here. There's definitely going to be an investigation. There has to be. There has to be an investigation. And, you know, is that recruiter telling everybody at UNLV, I never said anything like that. Well, things get real different when you get under oath. And they, like I said, Sluka's camp has called them out by name. And you don't do that if you don't have something, I don't think. Yeah. And he's got an agent. The agent is a lawyer. They're clearly being advised now, legally speaking. And I would absolutely not put a name in there unless I knew I had something on that person.
Would Brennan Marion have legal recourse on this?
If he didn't have any, if he never made any such representation or anything along those lines, sure, right?
Should
state in fact.
You said UNLV the statement was kind of soft. Totally. Is there a reason they did that? Because of legal concerns? Or sure. Could they have come harder? I asked you this morning at like 8:30 as, you know, UNLV was kind of getting skewered all over social media, and people were just taking Sluka and saying, hey, he got cheated. How dare UNLV do that? Could they have put something out earlier in the morning? So two questions. Earlier to stem the tide and stronger. Could they have done both?
Only stronger if you're stating fact, right? Now, UNLV might be in a tough position because they got to go talk to everybody and figure out what the whole story is. Whoever's in charge of making a statement on behalf of the university is not the person who was involved in the intricacies of this whole fiasco. Mm. So now they got to take some time to get and talk to everybody and figure out what actually happened from UNLV's perspective before they make a statement. So I don't think that rushing to a statement early matters so much as being absolutely correct. And if you're going to put out a statement at all, other than we wish him well and just leave it be, if you're going to try to defend yourself in a statement, it should be definitive. And I do not believe this statement was definitive.
So we're going to hit this at 3:45, 4 o'clock, 4:20, 4:35. So it's a lot more is coming up. On the way back, though, I want to get you set up with what is happening with the Aces. Plenty to get to. And Caleb Herring is the former quarterback. Caleb is in towards the end of this hour on Cofield and Company.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center on ESPN Las Vegas.
Like I said, we'll get back to Sluka and UNLV and conference chaos at 3:40 and 4 o'clock and 4:20 and 4:35. And then, of course, we're leading into the Barry Odom radio show, which should be wild and woolly, or maybe he won't say anything because he can't. We'll find out after 6 o'clock. Willie's here, Justin Watkins. We're in Justin's studio, the Battleborn Broadcast Center. All right, so Aces. They got through it. You like what you saw?
I actually really did. And I am switching lanes. I have been steady Eddie on that this was it. Their run was over. I am no longer of the belief that this is over. And I will say this. If the Las Vegas Aces steal one game in Brooklyn, it's over. They will come back and they will sweep the two games here. You know why? One person. They came out of the Olympic break and everyone was like, what, including myself, what is wrong with Chelsea Gray? She is not right. She didn't look right in the Olympics. She didn't look right when they came out of the break. She has looked fantastic down the stretch and in the two games against Seattle. She looks like the point guard that everybody saw win the MVP of the first championship they won. And before she got injured last year, she continues to play like this. They steal one in Brooklyn. New York's going to get swept here in Vegas, and the Aces are going to win this in four games. So I do like what I've seen. I still think that Minnesota is overall probably the best team because of their overall talent, depth, and the fact that they've showed New York that they could beat them before and after the break. They won the Commissioner's Cup. They're not afraid to go into New York and smack them around. And I like Cheryl Reeve as a coach. So I do think that they'd have their hands full with Minnesota if that's who they end up facing. But I like what I've seen against Seattle.
Yeah, I think, the question was, is they going to be able to flip the switch when it got to the playoffs after a sort of ho-hum regular season? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing to criticize in the first two games. No. I mean, everybody's looking good.
Yep.
You know, Plum didn't like her game in the first game, but she more than made up for it in game two. You know, she was unstoppable in game two. So, I think it's great for the WNBA that we're going to have this, you know, second round matchup. I think it's going to be competitive. I think they've shown that at least early signs are they were able to flip the switch and they're ready to go.
I don't believe it. I think the Liberty are the best team. They've been the best team all season. I don't believe that a team where almost everything is funneled or there's a heavy reliance on Asia. Mm-hmm. And I also worry about Kelsey Plum and her future and where her head is right now.
I get it. But the thing is this version of the Aces just went to New York a couple of weeks ago and won on a vicious road trip that was New York, Connecticut, back-to-back in Indianapolis. So if now, and I'd be right there with you, and I've been, you know, questioning the strength of this team mentally, physically, injury-wise, whatever it may be. But right now they're playing with the championship mentality that we've seen in the past. And, you know, you can say all you want about game one against Seattle, but let's not forget, we are in the playoffs now. And they were the 4 and 5 seed. And Noel Quinn is a good coach. And Seattle is loaded with veterans. You know, a lot of people look at Jewel Lloyd and they forget that she's been in the league for 10 years. I mean, that's a stacked team. It's just that the Aces were playing at home and they were better. I like what I saw from Chelsea Gray. And like I said, I think if they go in, they have to steal one in New York. They're not going to come back 0-2 and then go back for a fifth game. They got to come back with the series tied 1-1, and they can win that series here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be competetive. I see it as sort of a toss-up. I don't know what the bookmakers have on it, but I think that it's going to be entertaining. I think it's good for the WNBA that matchup's happening, especially because, you know, there might not be a Caitlin Clark in the playoffs after tonight. So they need some good storyline, and that's a pretty good one for round two, in my opinion. You know, the past champions versus who many people think are the favorites to win the championship this year.
Caleb Herring's coming up, so he's got stuff to say about UNLV and Matthew Sluka. That's on the way. Let's do a giveaway here. We got Big Time Golf coming to town like it does every October, the 17th to the 20th, TPC Summerlin. Some of the best golfers in town are going to be here for the Shriners Children's Open. Get your tickets at ShrinersChildrensOpen.com, 364-1100, 364-1100. We've got a two-pack right now. Griffin's going to hook you up there, and even better, if you don't win, you can go to lvsportsnetwork.com and register to win tickets, but these are VIP tickets.
Oh, nice.
So go to our website, lvsportsnetwork.com, 364-1100, caller 7.
Former UNLV quarterback and current voice of the Rebels, Caleb Herring, joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Busy day around the UNLV football community. Barry Odom Radio Show is actually coming up after us, about 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's Cofield, it's Justin Watkins, it is Willie Ramirez. Everyone's on their cell phones. There's so much going on, getting information. I'm not alleging that anyone's, you know, playing a game on their cell phone. Collecting info. Caleb Herring's here. Let's pop up Caleb, and we wanted Justin to mention something about what we were talking about earlier. Caleb, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I was playing Tetris, so I will go to serious business on my phone for now.
Okay. Yes. It's serious business time. Okay. Update from Ross Dellinger? Actually, really, from the NCAA. Are they starting to comment on this?
Yeah. So the NCAA has issued two statements, one by the president and one by an administrator in the NCAA, that basically says the NCAA president says, we fully support NILs for student athletes so they can profit from their name, image, likeness, which is a complete 180 from where they've been for 30 years, but it's good to hear and put it in writing. But what they've said is, and this is a point of clarification to what I said earlier about bringing the NIL in-house, that was part of the NCAA settlement in the lawsuits that has not yet been formalized. So I said it as if it's currently happening. It cannot happen yet. You cannot have an NIL as a part of the university, but that was going to be part of the settlement, the terms of the settlement, which may still go through, but has been held up by the judge. So the NCAA is saying without clear legal authority on what to do, they feel that they don't have great oversight in this manner. And that's why they're using this opportunity to promote why the settlement is good, so that this kind of stuff doesn't happen. But I don't think that changes the fact that if representations were made directly by the university to Sluka to transfer, that's a problem. And if the NIL for UNLV has a ongoing conversation about, oh, go talk to the university if you want to get paid, and those are conversations that are happening, that could be a problem as well based on the current rules that are in place.
All right, a lot there, Caleb. Can you give me your thoughts here early in this?
Early thoughts are, one, the transfer portal is the thing. It's happening. If you weren't aware of that, yeah, it is Player empowerment is a thing, and I have always and will always support the empowerment of the players. And I have been pretty consistent when we talk about this kind of thing on what that means. And it's not just getting all the funds, getting NIL, getting everything. It also comes with a great deal of responsibility and consequences. And there is that angle of this that I will still champion. While I'm pro player, I understand there's consequences, and players are being treated like professionals. And in some cases, they're having professional consequences and having to deal with very professional issues. And I even struggle to call them kids anymore because they're not. When you look at these contracts and negotiations and agreements, I also see the institutional side and where the universities could be at fault and could be the victim in this case of potential ramifications based on what amounts to, when you get through all the weeds, he said, she said. And I think that is the dangerous part from the university when you're talking about maybe the way that they're stepping around their statements a little more lightly and a little less demonstrative, because there is an element of, you know, I think I heard Justin say a little earlier, there is the element of my staff is saying that they're good, that they didn't say this, that they, you know, whatever in-house, that we're, everything was on the up and up. But things change when lawsuits start to fly and, you know, you start to go on stand. So I understand the institutional reasons for stepping lightly a little bit. I think as a former player, my instant response goes to the locker room. And I must say that in the wake of all this, I'm a little bit at ease based on some of the things I'm seeing on social media, at least from the players who will be impacted the most. And the UNLV guys who are having a very historic, great season and trying to do something special this year. I was worried about how it would affect them, at least in the immediacy of this fallout. And it seems like the heads are in the right place for the most part. Everybody hasn't spoken, but I think the response initially has been, you know, shifting focus back to the play on the field, which is what I ultimately want this to lead to, is a good product on the field for college football, for UNLV especially, and for those players who are playing and chasing their dreams.
Caleb, as a former player, with what's going on, and I know you can appreciate, of course, NIL wasn't around when you were playing, but that being said, the appreciation that you can have that now student-athletes can get paid. Put yourself in those players' shoes. Is there any part of you that is a little upset, although you would understand, hey, go get your bag, you're not going to the NFL, but at the same time, we started this, you did it 3 days before the conference opener. Why not maybe during the bye week? You left us in the lurch. Whether or not he can be replaceable, the second or third string could step in. Whatever the case is there, in your opinion, or could there be, the animosity of these players?
Without a doubt, there could be. I think there's you start a mission. And this I think about this every time there's a holdout in the NFL, too. Like, there's a point for business to be taken care of. And there's a point where everybody understands you got to take care of your business. You got to get your money right. You got to make sure people are doing right by you. And everybody on a team would understand that. 3 weeks into a season, cracking the top 25 in the coaches poll, conference opening, like you said, is not the time for your business to get aired out in a way that's detrimental to the team. I think everybody who's been a player would understand that there is the potential for animosity in that situation. I'll say this, the player in me, I was recruited, and the recruiting process has always been sort of a wooing process for institutions to try to convince players that their institution offers something that somebody else doesn't. And I'm not saying it's always financial. There has been speculation that it has always been financial in some conferences, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there have been agreements or promises that, from my mindset, felt like a sure thing. Oh, you can come and play as a freshman. Oh, you'll get this. Oh, we're going to win championships. The game plan will be centered around you. We think you're this. We think you're that. And then there's always the reality of what happens once you get there. And this can be applied to any phase in life where you get wooed and you get brought into something with the expectation that it will go a certain way. And once it doesn't go that way, things change and the relationship is sullied. I think with what I listen to Justin say, which I appreciate every time Justin is on with the legal analysis and advice, really is what I take it as. Thanks, you're like my free lawyer. But I think what I take from that is it opens up, if this gets to that point where it gets ugly, it opens up a lot of possibilities to where the verbal agreement becomes so much heavier and so much more attention gets put on that and more weight to that, that I think it gets really messy when you start saying what somebody was promised or what they understood as an agreement. And that could be the right way to go about it. That could be the end result of this, is that nobody gets any verbal confirmation of anything anymore, and at least in the world of college football. But I do see, back to the original question, I do see how it could be, there could be animosity between the players. I do see how that can impact the focus on the game of football, and it becomes about something else. And this is a test of strength of your locker room, for sure, and your moral character. Like, how do you take this? How do you get jealous of a guy who's doing this thing for himself? Do you envy him? Do you get mad at him for leaving and abandoning what you thought was a good chance at potentially a playoff berth and a good winning season for UNLV? That is all possible. And like I said earlier, from my indication, I think the players who have spoken out have kind of been mature about moving on and turning the page because they really believe in the next man up mentality.
Yeah, Caleb, I mean, I think that's super well said all the way through, and I'm always game to be your free lawyer. I was a little bit shocked about how strong the UNLV players, you know, the captains came out and just turned the page. It made me think that maybe some of this might have been going on in the locker room behind the scenes because, you know, they were kind of like, finally, let's go, let's move on. At least on Twitter, that's what I saw. But to your point about, you know, we enabled and allowed student athletes to be, maybe lied to is too strong, but it probably happened a ton where they were lied to, told that they were going to be X, Y, and Z, and then they were locked in. No transfer portal, no NIL, you were stuck. And now, with these players' rights coming into play, you know, in the real world, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to lie to somebody in order to get them to do something and take advantage of the situation without repercussions. That's the real world. And I'm, you know, to your point at the end, maybe that's better. I think that's better. You know, you don't get to tell these kids, this is for sure going to happen if you don't know for sure it's going to happen and you can't deliver on that. You know, you have to be a little bit more honest in your recruitment. I think those are all trending in the right direction, but getting to that point where it's all clear and clean like that is going to go through a super messy process. Like, I think this is just the very tip of the iceberg of things like this that are going to happen. It's just, you know, UNLV and Tennessee, I think, had something similar going on, are at the forefront of it right now.
Yeah, I think there is a right way to get to the better way to go about business, and this is new legislation, and you know this. Like, if you go back through all the legal system, what we have as established case law now, the amount of time it takes to draw out the case law, you go back to this country, the first murder case, like how exhaustive that was to establish what murder should be, and that seems today like a pretty simple thing, but it took a while to get there. NIL is new, and this is probably, there's so many things about this situation that are new. One, this is a graduate transfer who has a redshirt year available, who doing the redshirt now brings a different layer of attention to it, because that could be, and when you listen to what UNLV said, that could be the interpretation of a threat. You're threatening me your availability to play, as opposed to this pay-to-play thing that they're saying was their interpretation. Like, if I don't play, then I will. That being a threat. So this is all that the circumstances that led to this point are so new and so foreign that there's no way that either party could know how to navigate this the right way. And what Sluka is saying, and what his camp is saying, could have some truth based on his perspective and what he interpreted. Because you mentioned it, and it's been noted that at the time he was recruited and at the time he committed to UNLV, he was not under the agent that he's currently under. And that brings a whole other layer, because what did he become aware of? And I thought, reading his first statement last night, where he said the term the representations. A lot of people point to that as being a strange thing to say, like a strange word to insert there. I looked at it as this is a coach statement. This is a statement that he has been told is the right word to say. And you laid out the legal reasons beautifully earlier of what representations could mean should this go to a lawsuit, because you can defend against, oh, it's not in writing, with the words representation. There was a clear representation. I don't know. There's a lot that assumes that his agent's statement, that his family, there's a lot of assumptions that cannot really be proved or disproved, especially if you're talking about they happened in January or February. And it becomes now one of those things that I say, I will sit back and wait until all of the information gets put to the table. If it gets to the point where it's ugly and there's lawsuits, we will see. The investigation will produce much fruit that will change a lot of opinions. And right now I see narratives being pushed on either side that a lot of people are accepting as gospel based on who they want to side with. And I don't, it's kind of coincidental. We talked about this last night, Steve and I, and talked about conference realignment. There's narratives and agendas that are being pushed. There's character that's trying to be protected on both sides, and integrity. So I don't think what we're getting right now is anywhere close to the truth of it. I think it's you know, very slanted either way. And if it goes further, we'll get investigations. We'll get the truth. But I'm in the camp of UNLV had the chance to do something special here as an alum. I want the focus to go back to beating Fresno and go back to positioning themselves for a potential berth in the college football playoff, because that's still there. And I want to, you know, rally the community to support Haj Malik Williams or Camper, whoever takes a start, and support UNLV football the way that everybody has been excited to for this upcoming game on Saturday.
Caleb Herring is with us. He's part of the law enforcement community here in Southern Nevada. He's a former UNLV quarterback. He's on the broadcast team. I have 15 seconds after I'm done for you. Ready? On the football field, let's talk about that. Haj Malik Williams, if he starts, is 50% of Matthew Sluka, 75% of Matthew Sluka, 90% of Matthew Sluka.
15 seconds for that. Okay. Well, I think he is probably 80% of Matthew Sluka in one dimension, which is running. And I think he is 100% of Matthew Sluka in the air. I think he's a more efficient passer for a lot of different reasons that I need more than 15 seconds to break down. But I think everybody should be excited to see what he can do on Saturday.
We'll hear more from Caleb on the Barry Odom Radio Show. Thanks, you, Caleb.
Take care, guys.
There he is, Caleb Herring, the former Rebel quarterback. Reminder, on Monday we're back out at Ellis Island for Monday Night Football, but they got something going on pretty much every night. At Ellis Island now in the front yard, they've got David Perico playing with the Raider House Band, kicking off every Friday night with a tailgate at the front yard. And, of course, don't miss football all over the weekend at the front yard at Ellis Island, 4 o'clock hour on the way.